Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. As you know, we have been acknowledging International Women's Month each week. Today, we're going to be hearing a different presentation from an organization that represents one of the goals that's been expressed in the national, the provincial, and city levels, which is support of women's organizations, support of organizations that are increasing people's awareness of gender equity, people's awareness of ways we can practice the 92 acts of reconciliation. And I'm going to be introducing two people from such an organization that really empowers women and helps with another means of economic development. So my guests today are Mary Sois and Kira Phoenix. Kira is the operations manager of a wonderful organization called Megaphone, and Mary is a vendor. So I'm going to have Kira tell us a few things about what is this organization about and how does it really relate to some of the goals for International Women's Month.
Sure thing. Hello, my name is Kira, and like you said, yeah, Megaphone does a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff under Megaphone's broad belt, but in short, I guess Megaphone is founded around, you know, community journalism, uplifting stories from marginalized communities, in all of the different programs we have, including the vendor program. And at the heart of it really is the vendor program that our dearest Mary is a part of. And yeah, so I guess I could go through some of the programs that we have going on. And we did also start in 2008, starting as a newspaper, a street paper to be more specific. And so that's why the vendor program is really at the heart of it.
Yes, and from what I've learned, other times we've had people speak, it's a way that people are able to become self-employed, transfer from some people having lived on the streets or having very unfavorable housing situations to a level of progress and development. So I'm not going to tell your story. I love your story, so I'll let you tell it.
Yeah, of course. That's quite accurate, exactly. But yeah, so we do have the vendor program, we have an editorial program, we have the speakers bureau and special projects. But like you said, Megaphone provides trauma-informed, non-judgmental, and low-barrier support to people with lived or with living experience of intersecting marginalizations, including poverty, substance use, or disability. So participants in these programs access meaningful, self-determined economic opportunities and platforms for creative expression. Mm-hmm. And we operate in the Low Barrier Vendor Hub at the heart of the downtown east side at 312 Main Street, right at the corner of Main and Cordova, where we are right now. So yeah, at our heart, the vendor program really is where it all started in 2008, and even before that with Megaphone's previous iteration, Spare Change, from 2002. But at the heart, the vendor program addresses the lack of meaningful income, earning opportunities for people with barriers to traditional employment. So we do this by producing literary and journalistic publications and training 125 plus people experiencing poverty in Vancouver to sell those products on the street for an income. So we have the Megaphone magazine, Voices of the Street, which is an annual poetry anthology and literary edition with poetry and prose written by those who participate in our vendor program or community writing workshops, and the Hope and Shadows calendar, which is produced by engaging hundreds of downtown Eastside residents in a photography contest to capture moments of hope and resolve in the face of poverty. So There's a lot going on.
With women, I know we've had Princess and some people talk about how, as a different way of making money, an alternative to selling your body, very few people work with women around selling your creativity. Can you tell a little bit about how intentional that is?
Sure. Well, yeah, I would say that a lot of the vendors like really take it upon themselves to create their own signage and, you know, promote the vendor program and themselves in their own special way. And I know Mary here is a songwriter and has had the absolute, I have had the absolute pleasure of listening to Mary, you know, share her songs at our holiday party. And so, yeah, it's quite nice that the Megaphone magazine, our editor, allows for all of these different community submissions, actually, from men, non-binary folks, trans folks, women, all of the above, all folks that are interested in telling their stories, whether it's about, you know, their history here, or a haiku about the weather really striking something at the heart, or whether it's about, you know, their family in at the res, or if it's about the coroner that recently, you know, left the coroner position here, and all of the stories around that woman's role in especially the happenings here in downtown Eastside. There's a lot of so many different voices that can be included in the magazine, and all of those people, they do get paid for their contributions, and then they have the opportunity too to sell them, to have their work in print, which is so awesome, I think, and have an archive for themselves, but also sell it to friends and family. Yeah, so I think it's really empowering to see the way that people's faces light up when they're like, oh my gosh, that's my picture in the front cover of the calendar, or that's my picture featured on the back page of the magazine, or my picture on the front page of the magazine even. you know, so it feels like a community, and when folks come in and are ready to share that, yeah, it's... I feel like Mary could maybe speak to it more, but it's...
Yeah, Mary, I was going to ask you, what does it feel like to you, rather than... Often we read words, we support women, we're, you know, helping women to have a new way of life, but to actually feel something like that happening, what has this experience been like for you?
If you mean female at the Megaphone,
yes,
nothing could be stronger. And it's not overt either. The past two vendors of the month have been women. Anne was supposed to be here today. So anyways, there's that. And the staff is all women except for Devon, who's known as a heavy hitter. So, you know, it's without overt programs, you know, it's been just fine. There's respect at the Megaphone for women.
And you, as a songwriter, how have you felt that it, being involved with Megaphone has helped you in your career and as a songwriter, a singer?
Singer. I've been known to write a few bars of something, so actually it's singer. Well, you know, it's a little bit of pocket change that goes towards things.
Because usually, you know, when you hear typical stories, people have the terrible Hollywood stories of, you know, you have to find somebody, sleep on a couch, do things, favors to get moved up to where you've got support for your label or support places and opportunities to sell your music or to perform. I understand Megaphone has some events where people have performed. What are those like? Are there any upcoming?
There are a few, like, I'd actually say it's a lot of our vendor celebrations. A lot of performances tend to happen. So like our vendor holiday party at the beginning of the year in January, it was actually like a karaoke session. And we had the staff, we had volunteers, we had vendors, and we were all singing, not necessarily to a public audience, but it was quite fun. And just for, you know, recouping our morale in the depths of the winter time. But in terms of upcoming events, actually, one of the biggest ones that is coming up is the Voices of the Street launch. So in May, what I was mentioning before about the annual poetry anthology or literary anthology. May is when all of the pieces are kind of synthesized and finalized into that book for launch that then is like Mary will be able to sell on the street. And at that launch is when all of the writers are able to present their pieces to a live audience, which is really beautiful and kind of, here's the book, here's everything, and here are the people behind the writings that are going to share their words with their own voices right here in front of everyone. So it happened last year, last May. And so every May is a very exciting time, I feel like, for all the writers and the vendors and photographers too that are involved in the process of creating this book. So I think we're all kind of looking forward to May. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. The book is most beautiful book I've ever seen because it has full color photography, and then the unique design of when you open the book one way, it's one set of stories. When you turn it over and read it backwards, it's another set of stories, pictures, illustrations. For people who may not know, tell us a little bit about the licensing process, how vendors get an ID that they can be recognized as legally selling things on the street. Could you tell a little about that?
Sure, yeah. Feel free to hop in if I miss anything, okay? But yeah, so we have our vendor and volunteer coordinator, Mary mentioned earlier, Devin, who is the light. He's a light in our organization, for real. And Mary has a big smile on my... We both have big smiles on our faces because we love Devin. But yeah, Devin actually is normally the main point of contact that is very good at like looping people in, and it's the role to just orient a vendor. So there's vendor orientations that happen every week, and so folks can come in whenever because we're always open from Monday to Friday, 9 to 4:30. And if folks express wanting to become a vendor, it's like, all right, if we have 30 minutes right now, we can do it. If not, come back on Tuesday, 3 p.m., and we'll do a vendor orientation. It's 30 minutes of sitting down, just kind of learning about the person, why they want to be a vendor, laying out the rules, a code of conduct about, you know, being respectful on the street, like how we act as vendors, what there is to sell, what is in the current issue of the magazine, and then all questions are asked, I guess. And within 15 minutes, they have a badge. So it really just takes that initiative of, I would like to do this and be a part of this, and anyone can become a vendor. So it's very low barrier, which is nice. And recently, we just started a mentorship program. So there are some vendors that have been here, you know, a decade ago, you know, like it's been quite a while that they've been, you know, really championing Megaphone on the streets, and they have their huge customer base, and there are all these new folks that are coming in and wanting to become vendors. And sometimes, like, it's tough to be out there on the street on the corner when maybe you're a little bit shy still. So there's this really awesome way for newer vendors to be partnered up with older vendors in this mentorship program, and folks will go out for 2 hours at a time. Both folks get a stipend, and they're able to share all of the lessons learned from years of experience to this new person, and kind of help out with, like, yeah, what's the best way to start a conversation? What's the best way to, you know, promote the magazine? Or what are the different ways you can set up your spot so that you're grabbing attention and being, you know, doing the best you can as a vendor? And I think a lot of folks have had a good time from it. So there's that initial orientation, but then there's also a lot of supportive steps along the way after that.
Now, some people have mentioned the numbers, like, or percentage. Do you have any idea of numbers of people that have been able to transition from living on the street to being able to afford housing on anywhere?
That is a great question. I actually don't have the numbers off the top of my head right now, but we are in the process of participating in Vancouver's homelessness count. So we will be working on that very shortly, and maybe come back to us in a couple of weeks and we'll have more numbers for you there.
Okay, yeah. Some people have estimated numbers, again, numbers, yeah. But I don't know if you're doing an actual count. But in your estimation, how many people have you witnessed or seen being able to make the transition from being off down on the street to in housing?
I don't know, you know, people with homeless or underhoused or not housed situations. I've never discussed it with anyone. I know that, you know, people are basically on time and, you know, for any meetings. So, you know, hopefully something's working in their world.
Yes, I've heard people say, a lot of you have a very attractive corner downstairs where people have the magazine. So when I come into the building, I've thumbed through a magazine or I've heard people talk among themselves about how they were able to make a transfer, how it really, rather than people saying you need a voucher or whatnot, that being given skills to be a vendor, a system to get paid, that it helped them to make the transition from being unhoused or on the street to being having a room, having a whole range. You know, there's people that have talked about being able to go into the country, people who like farming, a range of opportunities that have opened up just from having the training that you mentioned. Because some people have to go to business school to get that.
That's
but really a system where they're interviewed, they get to express what they, you know, like to do, and then a system. And now the mentorship sounds like just marvelous. Because again, in business schools, they're telling people you need to find a mentor. Mm-hmm. At the university, they're telling people you need to find a mentor. And here you are with this particular model, seeing the benefit of having a mentor. Would you say, is there a difference in particular ages or genders of people who are volunteering or entering the system to become a take it if they get a stipend, that there is a system for being oriented to be a mentor?
Yes. Is the question about like the, I guess, yeah, there is a system for sure. But more on like the demographics of like who's becoming a mentor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks are over 60 now.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of the mentors are over 60 and they're really, like, they're still out here. They're still, you know, on the street, really dedicated to like the relationships that they built over the multiple years that they've been selling to the same families, same dogs that are running up to them, you know, the kids that they're seeing grow up on the street, and just, you know, passing by. And yeah, so it's really amazing not only to have, you know, 10 years or so of experience being a megaphone vendor, but then also the intergenerational exchange between the vendors, and some of the newer vendors are more in like their 20s, 30s. They could still be up to 60 because there's a huge range of, you know, who would like to become a megaphone vendor now. But yeah, a lot of the mentors are in the older range, and so they're really able to share all the knowledge they have, which is really sweet.
See, what is the thing that most memorable to you in the experience of becoming a vendor?
I think actually selling a calendar was maybe the most important thing.
Yeah.
And why does that stand out?
For me, it's an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a natural salesperson. I do promote my music a bit, but
where, other than when there's one of the events, how are you able to sell people or introduce people to your music?
I have a grant from the Downtown Eastside Arts Grants, and I know nothing about online and Facebook and stuff, so my voice teacher and I are going to record some songs, and then I'm going to send some away and try and post the other ones, which are for sleep, calmness, and was sleep, calm, and quiet.
Oh, now that's something that people are promoting for self-care. One of the things that a lot of International Women's Day programs, they've talked about self-care, that women are often intergenerationally taking care of little kids, older people, and sometimes forget to take care of themselves. And so you've got the product. You have music that helps with sleep and self-care. I'm talking and picking on Mary Zeus, who is a vendor but also an artist. When you finish recording, do you see, well, I want to go back about business structure, because I see there are other places in the world that have a business structure and business model like this. Can you talk a little bit about that model and then how it benefits someone like Mary, who doesn't have to go through a big maze of asking, begging, and trading or doing whatever to get her beautiful music out?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Megaphone is actually part of the International Network of Street Papers, INSP. I'm making sure that I got that down. But yeah, like we come from a history of the first street paper in Vancouver, which started in 2002, which was called Spare Change, and then 2008, Sean Condon and a couple of other really amazing folks and volunteers, they just decided, let's make it Megaphone, you know? Let's start it as Megaphone. And so that idea for the street paper isn't just, you know, springing out of nowhere too. Like, there's a whole network of folks in Barcelona, in Seattle, in, you know, Portland, in the UK, in Scotland. Like, there's folks all over the world that also have a similar model of a street paper, where it is really about, you know, alternative media, community news and journalism, and stories from the people, for the people, with the people whose stories they are, being able to, you know, promote it and sell it themselves. And so just to break down the numbers a little bit too, like for the magazine, vendors are buying it for 75 cents from our office, and that covers only the production costs, and then they're able to sell it for $2 or more on the street, and that's how some of the extra, yeah, that's how income is generated. And then we have the Voices of the Street anthology, which is bought for $5, sold for $10. And then calendars, which are bought for $10, sold for $20. And sometimes, yeah, even more can be made from those calendars. So it really is a pretty cool way of practicing, I guess, like, in like personal investment, not only in the stories that are being published in the magazine every single month, but also in just that practice of, okay, let me invest a couple more. Or if I do a mentorship and I have extra money, I'd like to invest in this to make a couple extra dollars from it. Yeah, and I think it's just that practice. Like, some of the vendors, they're, especially the ones that have had a lot of experience, they share a lot of it, you know, with the newer vendors, of these are the spots to go to, these are the, you know, these are the events to target, this is the way that you can talk to people, and like, this magazine will relate to this event because of XYZ. So I think it's a really open culture of sharing, especially when there is new vendors. Like, a lot of the older folks and the mentors, they're very excited to share all of the things, which is really sweet.
So now, going back to your statement of, it felt like, really felt like an accomplishment. Selling is hard for a lot of people, and then you have to have the unction to invest $10 believing that you're going to make 20 back. How has that been for you?
Well, calendar season, you know, somewhere someone's going to snap one up or two. Mm-hmm. Because some people like the calendars for their offices.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have one. I like the calendar, but I like the book too. I did a lot of traveling last year, and I used to carry maybe a little book at then, but I've carried that book because it's just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The calendar, I think, as you said, a lot of people put them on the wall. I don't want to write on it because it's so pretty, but I think, but inside, you know, how it makes you feel when you have seen, I invested $10 in something, I made $20 for it. What are some things you had to do to push yourself into, for you haven't always sold, push yourself, motivate yourself to do that?
Is trying to sell them. Mm-hmm. That's the big hurdle. You have to, I'm on audio, not video, but I kind of put out a hand there. Mm-hmm. Have to try.
Are you taking part in the mentorship program, or is it something you might see yourself doing in the future?
I've been the mentee. Mm-hmm. And that was very fruitful. And, you know, it helped. Smile. Talk to people.
Yes.
Works much better that way.
Yeah, I mean, your eyes are sparkling and you have a big smile now. So I can feel the self-respect, because sometimes people who have to sell things, you know, they get beat up at the office if they haven't met a goal or a target, or don't have that mentor, and it can be very hard on the psyche and the self-esteem. But you're smiling, so happy that people who might be listening might then be inclined to contact you. Speaking of contact, what are ways for people to contact you?
Whoa.
I'll like, start with your website.
Yes. we actually do have a website. Crazy. But it is megaphonemagazine.com. And exciting news, actually, is that we will be revamping the website just a couple weeks. And so, actually, if you keep an eye out on April 5th, from around 2 to 3 p.m., we're doing a big sale with a bunch of vendors, a bunch of volunteers, staff, like supporters, friends of Megaphone. And we're going to be doing a huge sale at Granville in Georgia. With the new website, because we're using the website to kind of streamline a lot of the different things and make it easier for vendors to get paid, especially with the cashless system sometimes being a barrier for vendors to make sales on the street, because some folks are like, oh shoot, I don't have my toonies on me. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, we're launching this new website that should have a much more exciting and more streamlined way for vendors to get paid faster on the streets, as long as someone has access to the internet and a credit card. So megaphonemagazine.com, it may not look the way it looks right now in a couple of weeks, but that's the first point of contact for sure. And then we also have our office. People are always welcome to stop by. We're on the ground floor of 312 Main at Main and Cordova, and our entrance is on the Cordova side. But yeah, we're just on the ground floor, and it's open 9 to 4:30, so some folks, they pick up their calendars in our office to save on some shipping fees, which I highly recommend, because then we get to chat and hang out more. Yeah.
I'd say you're in the same building where the downtown location of CJSF is. We're broadcasting from CJSF.
Such a long commute.
Yes.
I got to where we had to go.
But it's wonderful seeing the energy of the people, because the vendors are energetic, but they don't interfere. You know, it's just sitting there. Everybody, I never hear any arguments. I mean, people are sitting there and they're pleasant. The magazines are there. And of course, when you pick it up and start looking, you know, they don't, well, do you want to buy that? Or, you know, be careful. They just let me look at it. And then when I ask how much it is, and the person says it's, $20 if it's a calendar, or $20, whatever the book costs. I wanted to get it because not only was I seeing some of the pictures, but hearing the stories. People talked about the stories, you know. Such a range of poetry. I love, mm-hmm. as a poet, reading something where everybody's poem isn't the same format. You know, there are haikus, there is drama, there's poetry that is, healing, they're spiritual. It's such a range. And the pictures, I just thought, this is amazing that the photographers also individual vendors, that yes. they have put yeah. pictures that go so well with photos that go so well with the person's story, where people might have written something that's about a loss or something that was sad, that there's a picture that it's just an amazing book. So you do want to come to that event on the 5th. Will you be selling? What kinds of things will you be selling? Will you be selling the magazine?
For April 5th will be the magazine, which sometimes vendors have back issues. On that day will actually be April 5th is when we release the April issue of the new magazine, of the monthly magazine, sorry. So folks will get a first look and a first grab at the new April magazine issue. But some vendors also like to carry the old back issues if folks have missed out in March, February, January. And then we'll also be selling calendars, of course, because it's still early enough in the year for folks to grab one. For the book that you're talking about that I love so much too, that one, we will have to wait a little bit longer until May, and I can try to find the exact date that folks should look out for.
You're listening to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm going to take a quick break here to hear the song Hands Up by Kelly Lee Evans. Enjoy.
Seems every time I'm playing, I'm winning. I know it's not only me. And when I'm running, these words keep coming, and all is as it should be. It's such a funny feeling, no, I'm not hoping. I'm taking everything I see. Can't handle what you're dealing, keep feeling I'm living through you for me. So, who do you want me to be? Yeah, yeah. Who do you want me to love? Tell me who you want me to love. I put my hands up, tell me what you want me to know. I put my hands up, I'm letting from me to me. Such a funny feeling, no, I'm not hoping. I'm taking everything I see. I give up giving you in. I'm on my knees. So, who do you want me to be? The sky's up, rise up high, rise up to this newfound height. Tell me, do you think that I can fly? Do you think that I should try? Seems I should take a look, I should be an open book. You both verbatim hook, one breath and my world is shook. Thought that I was blind, thought that I was on my mind. Never knew what I would find, now I know that I'll be fine.
Hands Up by Kelly Lee Evans, here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon with Sister C. And now, back to the show.
Well, you also, I'm the kind of business that you are, I'm sure you will have a table or an information area where people who are interested in becoming vendors or interested in sponsoring programs, there'll be an area for people to do that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Sorry, did you say for April?
Or yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, where everyone is there to chat. I'm sure vendors like Mary would love to chat to other folks if they wanted to become a vendor. We have staff there, too, if folks wanted to talk about how to get involved in supporting the ongoing programs. Vendors, too, would probably love to hear about how folks can support the ongoing programs and their ongoing work every single day. We'll be Grandville in Georgia all the time. But in case folks can't make it out exactly to downtown on a Friday in the afternoon, there's also an email, info@megaphonemagazine.com, in case folks just want to reach out with general inquiries, whether folks want to become vendors, support a vendor, figure out how to make a purchase to support a vendor online, subscribe. We do home deliveries. Order a calendar.
Do home deliveries.
Yeah. You do deliver it to people's homes?
We do sometimes, yeah. There are folks out in Victoria or in, Hope, like, quite far. And we're like, shoot, we don't have a vendor there yet, but we can send it to you. And people can credit a lot of their online sales or even subscriptions to vendors and say, I'll pay $50 for home delivery, but make sure all of it goes to this vendor. Okay, we got you.
Mary, is there anything you'd like to add about your experience with Megaphone?
Megaphone is a really good have organization. Mm-hmm. It gives strong support and enhances our lives with these various programs. And all in all, it's been a great ride.
That's what we want at the end. You mentioned intergenerational. Are there any vendors that you can have experience who have been a child or somebody else in the family that's come into business with them?
We do, actually. We have Ruth and Jennifer, a mother and a child that they actually got trained together, and they are just a couple months into the vendor program now, and at the last vendor meeting, actually, one of them got a little bit of a recognition, which was awesome, for selling more than 20 calendars, or 20 magazines in a month, which is amazing. And so every meeting, we always make sure, like, X, Y, Z, all of y'all are doing amazing. Mary's doing amazing. Mary's always on the list. For the first time, Ruth got on the list, which was awesome, and just got some recognition. And then she was just like, oh my gosh, I love that I'm on here, but Jennifer helped me sell almost everything, and we were working together, and all the teamwork of, like, us tag teaming, of, like, who's going to go out on this day, who's going to go out on this day, and we'll share the product. And then they really work together as, like, a parent-child team to, you know, support themselves, support their family, and make sure that they're supporting each other as new vendors, too, which is really sweet to hear. The both of them are so spirited and so eager to participate in and everything, really, but they've been going at it quite well together.
I was just looking at the premier issued a statement making around International Women's Day, and he says, BC is home to countless smart, caring, and passionate women who make our province stronger. I think of the women who balance working, caring for their families, and contributing to their communities. I think of the women on front lines delivering the services we all rely on, like childcare, education, and health care. And I think of the women breaking down barriers in fields where they continue to be underrepresented, including my colleagues in government, who, despite facing threats and hate just for doing their job, continue to push for positive change and lead our efforts to achieve gender equity. So it seems like you are really building things that help with gender equity and help with intergenerational transfer.
Yeah. say so.
Yes.
Did you all do any special programs for International Women's Day?
We actually, our current issue on... words.
On the cover.
Yes, on the cover. Do you want to speak to it, actually, about the current issue?
Oh, the grant issue? You mean where the chief coroner of BC retired and she was a woman and she dug in really, really strong and says, you know, ahem, the toxic drug supply. And she regrets that people have lost their lives.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah, she's on the cover for we're in March. She's on the cover for March for this month, this month's issue, and that was an investigative piece written by a female journalist, and almost every piece in the rest of the magazine as well is supporting stories written by other, a lot of female writers too, that are in Megaphone, and peer writers, focusing even on like families supporting children with substance use and just accessing a safe drug supply. So I think March's issue is pretty cool for those that want to check it out. It's a whole complete package, I would say. I don't know if you had anything more that you wanted to add about the magazine.
Often they publicize cultural leaders. The month before, I think, February, was an on-site writing group, and that was coordinated by women. So there you've got a little feather in the cap.
Yes. We've heard about the vendors, but let's say today someone hears the program, hears talking about this wonderful organization and the publications. Are there any places, like locations, that people can come to where there are people that are set up and have the magazines available to buy?
Yes. I am racking my brain. I feel like I should have come with a list. But yeah, a lot of vendors have like specific spots. Mary, do you have a specific spot that you normally sell at?
Yes. I work with Stefan, and he has been, Scott, and he has been selling the Megaphone for 12 years. So that is definitely his corner. People will come by when he's not there and said, "Where's Stefan?"
Yes, yes, yes.
Coming.
His card. That was how I was trying to contact someone about coming on the air. But I had his card, but the part with the number had come off. He said, "I have to get some more cards." But, you know, I that's where I make my purchases, because he or someone else is very friendly. What I like is a lot of newsstands and places, the people aren't friendly who sell in the publications. You know, they look at you if you, like, they don't want you to touch them. In fact, they put in the magazine places something that you can't lift it out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the magazine is there. No one says take one, but it's there. And so I just love the friendly encounter when people come right in the door at 312 Main.
Yeah,
Stephen
sure.
is there, or there are a couple of other people that I've met there that have the publication, or they just have genuine good conversation. So I think that is a business model, having people that aren't either waving what they have in the, you know, in the air for you to get it, but just take the patience. You know, she might buy it, she might not buy it, but you know, in I think that's good. And maybe as there are other places, as people wanted to talk, when someone approaches you, because one of the people that was on our show before said, addressing a person from the audience, if someone comes up to you and they offer a publication, don't hush or push us off like, oh, we're street people, or, you know, we're not respectable. Take a minute to hear, you know, what we have to say. What are some of the things that you can look for when a person recognize this is a licensed vendor, trained vendor? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a megaphone vendor, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Mary's wearing one right now. I wish you could see.
There. It isn't for the, it's for the megaphone. Okay.
Yeah, but we have a lot of vendor gear. So if anything, folks can find megaphone vendors wearing a badge. And so it's a little laminated badge with their picture, their vendor number, a megaphone logo, and also the license number. But that's not important. Mm-hmm. But we have that at the very least, and it will be on a red lanyard. But we also have Mary wearing a megaphone toque. It's red, bright red with the megaphone logo on it.
And the words, megaphone.
Yeah. People also have a vest that sometimes folks wear. There are shirts. There's an umbrella. There's like a tote bag. There's a rain poncho. And so I think under all of it, almost everything is red. So I would say just look for the red, or look for a red pin, or look for a red lanyard. But yeah, definitely as soon as you find your... Where is your spot again?
Thurlow and Davie.
There we go. Thurlow and Davie, you can find Mary. There are a couple other vendors scattered around, but I would really highly encourage just keep... If you can't find one in your neighborhood... Normally there is one. But if you can't find one in your neighborhood, folks can always just give us a call. And we can see who's closest near you. Because we really encourage folks to really find the vendor that, you know, you'll be passing by every single day, and you can always have conversations, and they're always so wonderful to chat with. You know, and so I really find that megaphone vendors tend to become pillars of their communities. So if you don't know who that is yet, you can give us a call.
Yes. Say the phone number again.
Sure, yeah. It is, oh my goodness, 604-255-9701. Let me make sure that I got that right. I did. It's 604-255-9701.
And I must say, it gets answered promptly, and you get connected to the person you're looking for. Why are you passionate about doing this work?
For me, it's the stories, honestly. Like, the stories and the people that are behind this that make up Megaphone. Really, the vendors are the heart of this organization. We would not exist if it weren't for the vendors that are sharing their stories, putting their hearts on the line, putting their bodies out there too, in like all weathers, like ready to share stories and share their experiences and create those connections with people, whether rain or shine. You know, it's really I'm like speechless. I'm thinking about, oh my god. But yeah, like when I first moved to Vancouver, actually, one of the first people that I met was a megaphone vendor.
Well, hey.
Yeah. And they were so sweet and so funny, and coming up to me, they're like, have you heard about Hope and Shadows? And I was like, I haven't, but tell me more. And, you know, we kept seeing each other. Like, I saw them at Vancouver Public Library downtown, and I saw them again on the bus, and I saw them again on Main Street. I was like, how are you everywhere? And it turns out that all the megaphone vendors are everywhere. So, sorry, that was a bit of a ramble, but I really think it's just like the spirit of all of the megaphone vendors. Like, that's what keeps us going at Megaphone, and really the dedication to telling the stories is, you know, oh my gosh, it's so incredible, I feel like, in all the different methods that there are and the different programs there are for the storytelling, whether it's that storytelling through the mentorship program even, or if it's storytelling through, you know, magazine submissions or poetry submissions. Like, I'm just peeking over our editor's shoulders being like, whoa.
Can you really cool. speak about the Speakers Bureau?
Yeah, the Speakers Bureau too is, oh, incredible as well, because these are folks that are like trained to tell their stories. Like, speakers go through a series of workshops, you know, with their stories that are very raw and very emotional, and that also unpack a lot of trauma and violence that can happen down mm-hmm. here. But after going through workshops of like, how can we tell our stories in a way that is also educating people that don't hear this sometimes, you know, that don't really take the time to listen sometimes or really understand what the situation is. The Speakers Bureau then happens in with high school classrooms, with workplaces, with various groups that reach out, like just wanting to learn more, whether it's about like the stigma around drug use or addiction or homelessness or even just poverty or what the situation is here, especially in the downtown east side. It's incredible to see the power that the storytellers have over their own stories, and then being able to share that, and the knowledge, the power of their storytelling, and just educating so many young people too that are so excited to hear, to hear and learn. And I think it's one of the coolest programs. So if anyone also wants to book one.
You want to book a speaker. As the operations manager, we've been talking with Kira Phoenix, and she is full of energy. Some people with operations, they're so worn down by the operation. But I can testify in the middle of the afternoon, there's all kinds of construction and stuff is going on around the building. She's beaming. So definitely you can look into programs like the Speakers Bureau, where they call the same number, or go to say the website again that a person would go to if they wanted to book a speaker.
Yeah, it would be the same number again, 604-255-9701. They're happening with further conversations with our executive director that's, you know, has a hand on everything that's going on. So yeah, if folks are interested, we're really looking also at schools, if there are teachers or professors that are interested in kind of that educational piece from trained storytellers, they can totally reach out. So 604-255-9701, and the website is megaphonemagazine.com, and the email is info@megaphonemagazine.com.
And just in case anyone can't spell it, can you spell megaphone?
I can indeed. MEGAPHONE.
Megaphone.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Sounding out. Kira, can you tell us how people will get in touch with you, and when can we expect to hear your music?
I'm always pleased to sing. I love appreciative audiences. And as I said, I'm the recipient of an arts grant. So part of it is trying to go online with recorded songs. Mm-hmm. I sing at various karaoke and open mics. And there's a lot of talent running around this city.
Yes. And again, with a smile. I love the energy you all have. This street has got a line going around it because there's a food donation program going on. There are high rises being built. On the way here, my phone tuned out because it went under over a bridge where Vancouver is being built all around, and in the middle of the afternoon you have a smile and you're relaxed. So if nothing else, visit the Megaphone people and you will be revitalized. But what is the contact information to contact you?
How about an email?
Okay.
SEUSMARY@gmail.com.
Okay, so if you contact Kira, you will be able to share that great energy she has, as well as maybe here, she might share with you. If you're someone who is doubting that you have the ability to sell or promote yourself, and she can tell you how good it felt for her to sell that calendar, you'll be on fire. That's what I thought. Everybody that I've encountered, I mean, you should... I don't say you shouldn't have a fee, but should have a meter. People can see how people's energy level rises as they come in the building and pass the people from megaphone. So thank you so much for coming and being a guest today. I am happy that it ties in very much with the international goals for women, recognizing the accomplishments, understanding the history, supporting the intergenerational role and strengths women bring to the table, and employing women more in the marketplace for this wide variety of skills, soft skills, hard skills, skills to figure out and schedule, just to also the support for gender equity, the support for indigenous leaders and community members, service providers, advocate, all the women and gender diverse women who work together here in our province and around the world. Together we've achieved a lot. We have much more ahead of us to go. And I will be back again next week at 10 on Sluau. Speak up, listen up, act upon. My guest and I speak up. SU, so you can listen up, LU, and you can AU, act upon what you've heard. So I said, when people ask me what time it is, I say, it's always love time, poem time. I'm Sister C, and I'll see you again. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.